cutting away from Amram's grandson.
Right, the bris second
verse. Who made a bris?
Joey Shmuley made.
Okay. Thank you very much, Rabbi Reingold, for your kind word. It's my greatest chus to be here and to share the Torah. The topic of today's shir is, as you saw, I had a dream, real or imaginary halachic response. Dreams in halacha has a significant amount of rabbinic literature discussing dreams. Essentially, there are two parts that I would like to share with you this morning. The first is when it comes to a person who has a dream that has halachic ramifications. An individual has a particular dream that relates to either lav in negative commandments or asay in positive commandments. How Chazal deal with that particular type of dream. The second type of dream I'd like to talk about and discuss is a general dream. A person thinks about a variety of different things, not relating to halacha, not relating to Judaism, not relating to any aspect of halacha at all. But a dream in general, what does that portend, and how does the halacha relate to that? The first two sources I'd like to turn your attention to is a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Dav Lamed, and a Gemara in Dharma, Dav Ches. We'll start with source number one, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Dav Lamed. The Gemara and all of the Marmakomas you'll see are found bracketed in on the pages. The Gemara says, it's actually Tosefta, the Gemara quotes, Hareshai mitztara mo'o shehiniach lo aviv. Somebody is concerned, he's upset, he's troubled, he's bothered by the fact that he has a certain inheritance, a certain Yerusha, and he doesn't know where it was left. His father left him a certain amount, a bundle of money. He doesn't know where it was left. Uba bal ha'chalom v'amalo kach v'kachem b'makom plonihen shal ma'aser shenihen. Whoever this Baal HaChalom is, the Rashi points out, Tsar HaMara Chalomos Balayla, there's some sort of prince who has a ability to share dreams with an individual. So this Tsar comes to the person and says, I know exactly where the Yerusha is, I know exactly where the money is. It is, says the Gemara, B'makom Ploni, and it's this and this amount of money. The only issue is that the Baal HaChalom says, Shal Ma'aser Shenihen, Ma'aser Shenihen is money that cannot be used. So you're stuck. You're stuck, so what is he going to do? He tells him where the money is, he tells him how much money is. The problem is, it's Ma'aser Sheni. What are you going to do? Hareiz Ha'ya Ma'aser. The Gemara says, indeed, there was such a situation that occurred, and the response that the Chacham gave to this particular predicament was, Divrei Chalomos Lo Ma'alin V'lo Moridin. Dreams have no specific value to them whatsoever, not positive and not negative. It's inconsequential, insignificant. Divrei Chalomos Lo Ma'alin V'lo Moridin. This phrase and this pithy statement is one that comes up a few times in Shas when it comes to a variety of different dreams. So from here you have a very clear indication the way Chazal saw and understood dreams, Lo Ma'alin V'lo Moridin, that they're inconsequential. If you take a look, however, on the second source, that's the Gemara Nedarim Dav Ches, you get a very different impression as to how Chazal, how they understood dreams. Again, the Gemara Nedarim Dav Ches, and Aleph in the bracket, source number two.
It seems to me, based on Rashi there, he says, it seems to be saying that he could definitely investigate the, I guess that's not really a halakhic thing, find out where the money is.
100%.
But he doesn't have to assume it's Ma'aser Sheni.
Absolutely. That's correct. Source number two. Amrav Yosef, in Gemara Nedarim Dav Ches, Niduhu Bachalom, somebody was excommunicated in a dream. So the Gemara says, this individual is excommunicating the dream. If he's concerned about the dream, and he's troubled by the dream, even though the Gemara doesn't say that, the requirement is not you can, you don't have to, you want to, you may want to. You require. It's necessary to find 10 individuals to be matir the chalom, to annul the chalom. The Gemara now goes through a few lines of what type of people, what type of individuals, what type of asara we're talking about. Talmidei chachamim, people who teach, people who learn, people study Mishnayos, people study Gemara. Whoever those 10 individuals are, clearly indication is from the Gemara that you need 10 people to be matir the chalom. Certainly here you get a sense that a dream is, in fact, important, is crucial, and the Chazal do take dreams very seriously. If you skip down to the last three lines in the brackets here, the Gemara asks the following question. Amle Ravina L'Rav Ashi, Yodaman Shamte Mal Delishrile. If you know who indeed put you into Cherem in this dream, can you find the same individual to annul the dream for you? Is that possible? I saw the dream, I remember the dream, I recall the dream. Now I'm going to go after Johnny, and I'm going to tell him, come and be matir the chalom that you put me into Cher. Amr Leah, the Gemara respond, L'shmutei shavi shliach, l'mishri leh lo shavi shliach. When it comes to putting somebody into excommunicating them in a dream, that we will take seriously. But l'mishri leh lo shavi leh shliach, to be matir the chalom, that we're not going to take seriously. Half of it we'll take, half of it we don't take. The Gemara asks the second question. Amr Leah, Rav Achal, Rav Ashi, shamtei v'shari leh b'chal me'mai. I had a dream, I remember the dream, somebody put me into Cherem, and I know exactly who was Matir the Cherem. So two things happened. I was placed into Cherem by X, and the same Mr. X also was Matir the Chalom. Is that significant, or do I still have to be Matir the Chalom in front of 10, the way the Gemara said earlier? The Gemara responds, Amr Leh, Kishem Shi'i Efshar Lebar Below Tevin, Kachi Efshar Lechalom B'li Dvarim B'Telim. Just like when it comes to straw, that there's always going to be some sort of chaff in the straw, there's something connected, there's some evil, there's some bad, there's some inappropriate aspects of the bar, of the straw. So too when it comes to a dream. Dreams certainly portend something, and there is significance to them, but there's also davar batel, there's also some insignificant aspect of a dream. What you see here from the Gemara is that indeed dreams you have to take seriously to a certain extent, but part of the dream you cannot take seriously. So for that reason, the Gemara says that if you have a dream that person excommunicated you, and he also was matir the excommunication, you can't totally believe the guy, because part of the dream is indeed true. Maybe he put you in the chair, but who says that part of the dream is true, that he was matir the excommunication, that he lifted the excommunication?
So the first source was Ektonayim or Amorite?
Both of these are Amorite sources.
So you said Tosefta?
Yeah, the quotes of Tosefta, but the, again, okay, with the fact
Amru
that...
Is
yes,
Amorite.
Exactly. Okay. These two sources would seem to come into direct contradiction with each other. They're conflict. On the one hand, the Gemara in Sanhedrin seems to say, Divrei Chalomos ein malin v'lo moridin. And the Gemara here in Nedarim Dav Ches says, indeed, there are some Dvarim B'Telem in a Chalom, but at the same time, E Efshar L'Chalom below Dvarim B'Telem, there means that the dream, to a certain extent, has a significant amount of truth to it. And not only that, Halacha tells us, the Gemara tells us that if you are put into excommunication by this dream, you need 10 people to resolve it. How do we handle this contradiction? So Rabbi Kiva Eger on the side of the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Dav Lamed points to a Tashbetz.
Why is it a contradiction?
Because on the one hand, the Gemara says, Divrei Chalomos L'malim V'lo Moridim, they're unimportant, they're not crucial, they're not something that we take seriously. And the other Gemara, the Gemara says that if you're placed into excommunication, if you're excommunicated in your dream, you need 10 people to lift that excommunication. So the Gemara on the one hand says a dream is significant, and on the other hand, the Gemara says a dream is not significant.
The Cherem is called by the dream?
That's what it seems to be, because you need 10 Bnei Adam to be matirat. Once you need 10 people to come and be matir the chalom, the Gemara goes through a whole long deliberation and discussion. What type of 10 people? How type of 10 people? Where are you going to find the 10 people? But you need 10 people to be matir the dream. Not only that, the end of the Gemara says that kach yefshar lachalom b'lidvarm b'teilim means that a chalom does have significance to it.
Are you matir the dream or the
chair? Matir the chair. Matir the chair. Rabbi Kivega on the side has a parish on the Gemara where he asks different stiras and difficulties, so he refers to a tashbetz that you'll see in source number 3 if you turn the page. And the tashbetz here has a monumental tshuva where he goes through a variety of Gemaras throughout Shas that seem to contradict each other regarding how seriously we take dreams. He goes through about 16, 17 different Gemaras, where you see a variety of different conclusions in Shas as to how we handle dreams. And his first line is fascinating in terms of appreciating Shas in general. He writes, "Umashi roi ledaktek," in source number 3, "Bezehu b'inyan achalomas derech klal b'mamari ha-talmud, ki ha-yidia b'klalim kodemes b'teva u'b'sever lidia b'prater." Very interesting parenthetical line, that first you have to know a lot of information. You got to finish all of Shas first before you can start spending time on discussing particular instances. So says the Tashbetz, I've taken care of that. I've scanned the entire Talmud. I've went through everything. Now I can answer the difficulty between these two particular Gemaras. On the one hand, he says, the Gemara in the Dharma seems to say that dreams are serious. On the other hand, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that dreams are not something serious. How do we handle the stira in the two Gemaras? So we take a look in the second column in source number 3. The
Tashbetz has a fascinating way to be mechalik between the two cases, and he says you have to look at each of the two scenarios for what they are specifically. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Dav Lamed, when it's dealing with Ma'ir Sosheni, that's a situation of mamonos. That's a situation of dini mamonos of money. And when it comes to dini mamonos, we have a rule that it always stays by the muchzak. Whoever is the owner of the money, we always say that the money belongs to you, and still somebody could come and say, Hamotzi mechavera olavaraya. Somebody thinks that the money that you have in your property, in your home, in your bank account belongs to you. Well, the only way to prove that is you have to bring proof that it belongs to you. Hamotzi mechavera olavaraya. We always say that the money stays by the muchzak, whoever owns the money. Therefore, says the Tashbetz, that in the dream, it's a davar shebamamon, it's dinei mamonos. Until you're able to prove sincerely and concretely that the money is ma'aser sheni, well, up until that point, it belongs to you. Until you could wholeheartedly prove that that money belongs to somebody else and it belongs to ma'aser sheni, that money belongs to you. Divrei chalomos ein malin v'lo moridim. It's a regular halach in dinei mamonos. However, when it comes to the Gemara Nedarim, that is called Suffolk Isser, because maybe indeed you are excommunicated, maybe you're not excommunicated. If the Tashbetz says if it was a shade who excommunicated you, so it's insignificant and we don't take it seriously. If it was a malach who excommunicated you, then we do take it seriously. So it's a suffolk as to if the excommunication is indeed sincere or not. Because, says the Tashbetz, that's a suffolk, we're not sure if it was a shade or if it was a malach who excommunicated you, it's a suffolk isser. And in suffolk isser, we paskin l'chumra, and therefore we take the dream seriously. A fascinating chiluk of the Tashbetz. Let's just read it inside.
Because it's an isser
d'oraisa? He's not dealing with whether it's an isser d'oraisa, isser d'rabbanan. It's because it's an isser. And when it comes to davar sheba isser, we have a klal that be isser and we want to go l'chumra. We don't want to take it lightly. Maybe you're excommunicated. Maybe you can't be in the cow. Maybe you can't be in the community. Maybe people can't have an interaction with you. It's a suffix. So because of the suffix, we'll say that it's appropriate to take 10 people to be matir the suffix. A striking...
Why is matir sheni different among us? First, it's yours, but you have to eat in Yerushalayim. So how is that matir? It's an issue to me.
You want to tie in that it's also called Isser?
Yeah.
Very good. So take a look in the Tashbetz. Okay. Let's read in the second column. The Tashbetz says about 7 or 8 lines down, it's after a period of Yaduahu, he says, Ki b'kol davar shebamamon yeshlanu lahamir hamamon shenafal b'hasafik b'cheskasa. Anytime there is an issue relating to finances and financial matters, we always say that the mamon should stay by the muchzak. Malzeh amru, and based upon this, the Gemara says, Ba'oso shay mitzta'er al ma'os ma'aser sheni sheniach aviv, she'en lo lismoch abal ha'chalom. Regarding the case where the money was deemed to have been ma'aser sheni, so the Gemara says, we shouldn't rely on the bal ha'chalom. V'yunach ha'mamon ha'hu beches kaso, and leave the money in its place where it is. So at this time, what is it? Is it Isser or is it mamon? Right now it's mamon, because it belongs to me. So you can't say it's a davar sheba isser. Because when it has the chazaka right now, it's a davar sheba mamon. It belongs to me right now. Once it becomes ma'aser sheni, then maybe ein hachanami. You could deliberate whether it's called isser or whether it's called mamon. But right now, if you have the chazaka status quo, the chazaka tells me that it's called mamon. And therefore, says the Tashbetz, Divrei chalomos b'kinyan zeh lo ma'alin v'lo moridin l'hotzi hamamon mechaskaso. There's no way that you could remove this money from where it belongs. Davar shebamamon, you keep it by the muchzak. However, he points out this is also the position of the Shiltis. The Shiltis in Parshas Miketz says this also. But if you skip ahead 2 lines to the end of the line, right before the period of Al B'mishni Duhu Bachalom, when it comes to becoming excommunicated in a dream, Im Al Yidei Malach Harihu Menuda. If indeed a Malach was the one who excommunicated you, so we take that seriously. Vim Al Yidei Sheid Hu Einu Menuda. If it was done by a Sheid, that's not considered to be seriously excommunicated. We don't take the words of a Sheid seriously. Vim Kain says the Tashbetz Zeh Safek. Menuda, suffolk, ain't a menuda. It's a suffolk, it's a doubt as to whether or not this fellow is considered to be excommunicated or not. And all the ramifications of excommunication are applicable because we don't know if it was a shade or if it was a malach. Umina suffolk, tsarachete, kikol suffolk, isura, shef shalotzis, mide suffolk, alde takana. Therefore, says the Tashbetz, when it comes to Isser, and it's a Suffolk Isser, we have to be stringent, and therefore you need 10 people to be Matir the Suffolk.
I was just pointing out that he says, She'efshar, it says, in other words, it's because If it weren't possible to get out of it, then maybe...
Okay, it could be. But because it's feasible and it's doable and it's a suffix, we'll tell you that this is the right thing to do. So very clearly we see the Tashbetz makes a very stark and compelling argument to describe the difference between Isser and between Mammon. And with this chiluk, he describes a variety of Gemaras throughout Shas. Using this fundamental distinction, he goes through a variety of different Gemaras where he sees Chalomos are serious, Chalomos are not serious, and he works it through this basic chiluk. Source number four is a tshuva of the Rashba. The Rashba often got in polemics with philosophers in medieval times. And here is another wonderful example of how the Rashba deals with philosophers and philosophy. And the question that was posed to him, and he very often tried to get out of questions that he felt were of philosophical nature. The famous Minchas Kenos is a series of polemics that he got involved in Provence when he was debating with others regarding the status of Malachim and a variety of tshuvas that the Rashba continuously seems to have a very invested interest in discussing and divulging his approach to what he calls philosophia. So here he writes a tshuva zu b'shela philosophis. The question you ask me is a philosophical question and it requires a philosophical answer. What was the question that the philosopher asked the Rashba? He wanted to understand dreams. Explain to me what is the Jewish reaction, and what is the Jewish response to dreams. The Shoah was particularly asking him from a Gemara in Brachos when it came to an individual called Bar Hadaya, who was a person who was able to resolve dreams. He was a Pitron Chalomos. So the Rashba says, I'll tell you, there are two ways to go when it comes to a variety of things that we don't understand. He says, you philosophers, you understand that everything is based upon Teva, everything is based upon nature. If you can't explain something in nature, then it's worthless. Says the Rashba, the Jewish way of approaching things is twofold. Either it's a davar skuli, it's something that is a misugal, there is some sort of metaphysical understanding that we can't necessarily pin down to. O dvarim ne'elamim, or it's things that we cannot understand whatsoever. So the Rashba says, regarding dreams, that is the way we, Jews, understand dreams, that dreams have a nature of either being a davar skuli, there's something metaphysical to them, there's something special to them, there's something godly to them, or dvarim ne'elamim lo nizbar lo no ata sibosim, that's in the fourth line, that there are things that we can't explain and understand them completely. As such, says the Rashba in the last line in the Tshuma, V'emor pitchon hachalomos ke'echon mehem. When it comes to dreams, dreams are yet another example of items that in Judaism either are davar skuli, are metaphysical, or things that we can't understand. So Rashba typically, whenever he's dealing with philosophers and other philosophers, he very much takes a middle ground. He can appreciate them, but on the other hand, he explains to them that we don't understand everything, and if you can't understand everything, that's also okay, and that is the position that the Rashba takes when it comes to dreams. So up until this point, the Maharim Makomos have brought out the aspect that when it comes to aspects of halacha, where dreams portend a certain thing to the dreamer, so there are times we do take it seriously, there are times we don't take it seriously, it depends on the situation. If you skip ahead to source number five, we want to get into the second half of the sources for the morning, which really deals with more the types of dreams that individuals may have contemporarily, and that are dreams that are of a variety of different sources. They could be positive, they could be negative, they could be happy, they could be sad, they could be scary, they could be dangerous. How does halacha understand those types of dreams when they don't have halachic ramifications in the dreams? Source number five is Gemara in Brachos and Daf Samech. The Gemara explains that before you go to sleep, hanechnas lishon al mitaso, you have to say Shema. This is what's called Kriya Shema Lamita, and part of Kriya Shema Lamita includes a bracha. That's Birchas Hamapil. If you take a look in the Birchas Hamapil that you recite, there are a few words that would seem to indicate that dreams are something that Chazal did take seriously and did disturb us. What does the Gemara say? Va'al yiv haluni chalamos ra'im. Bad dreams should not confront me, bad dreams should not get in my way. So if the bracha that we recite immediately before we go to sleep, and this bracha the Gemara says you have to say immediately before you fall asleep, means that we're concerned about dreams. That dreams are something that we take seriously. Halacha takes it seriously. Chazal take it seriously. We don't want bad dreams to come in our direction. So from this source, you get a very clear indication that chalomos ra'im, that bad dreams, indeed, we do take seriously. There's something that has to be reckoned with. I'm sorry? Al yavaluni shouldn't frighten me. A bit like Behola. Yeah. Source number 6 is the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Yud Aleph. And this Gemara would seem to be the most stark in terms of appreciating how Chazal understood dreams. The Gemara says in source number 6, V'amarava bar Machasya, Amarav Chama bar Gurya, Amarav, Yafe Ta'anis l'chalom ke'esh l'na'oris. A ta'anis, a fast, is the most appropriate way, is an antidote to a dream, as fire is to na'oris. Na'oris is toe. In flax, there's also bad part of flax. There's the toe. The toe is the part that does not help you spin flax properly. So you want to get rid of the toe. How do you get rid of it? So the Gemara understood, and it's certainly in Talmudic times, the way to get rid of the toe was by burning it, by getting rid of it. And that is the most successful way, and that is the greatest antidote to get rid of the toe from the flax. So the Gemara gives a mashal, a parable. If you want to get rid of a dream, the same way that fire is the appropriate way to rid yourself of a bad dream, to get rid of the toe in the flax. So too, the best way to remove a dream is through a chalom, is through a tinus. Thank you. So certainly, tinus plays a very integral role in removing a dream. And the Gemara goes as far as to say, Amrav Chizdu Bo Bayom, it has to be on that specific day. And then the most extreme reaction to a dream is that of Rav Yosef, Afilu B'Shabbos, one should even fast on Shabbos. And this is striking, this disturbs the Rishonim, the Achronim, a fast on Shabbos, that's uncontested, we've never seen such a thing. The only fast that we have on Shabbos is Yom Kippur. Before Hillel Hazakin fixed the calendar, the fast used to fall, the only other fast that could fall out was Asar B'Teves. But a fast? Not Shavasa B'Tamas, not Tisha B'Av. So how could it be that a fast of a Chalom is going to take place on Shabbos? Certainly, we seem to indicate that a fast is something quite significant, and more importantly, a Chalom is something that's quite dangerous, and indeed the way to rid this dream is by fasting. So as such, that's what the Gemara says, it has to take place on that day, and it has to take place on Shabbos. Some Rishonim explain that the heter for this is because Shabbos is la'onig nitin of lo letzar, and if a person has a bad dream, the way to remove and to rid yourself of that concern is by fasting. So if you like chalent on Shabbos, well, this Shabbos you're not going to like chalent because you want to make sure that you're going to get rid of that bad dream. So for you, fasting this week is like chalent. Mechaim Soloveitchik has a striking pshat in this Gemara, and he explains that based on upon the Navi Zechariah, the Navi tells us that all fast days are based upon the month. Tzom Haravi, Tzom HaChamishi, Tzom HaAsiri. However, when it comes to a fast day that does not recite the month, like a Tainis Chalom, that means it has to be on that day. So when it comes to a fast day during a month, so and if you can fast on Shabbos, you'll fast the next day. You're still getting Tzom HaRavi, Tzom HaChamishi, Tzom HaAsiri. You're still having the fast in that particular month. But when it comes to a Tainis Chalom, where it's not based upon the month, where it's based upon Bo Bayom, therefore, Chaim understands that even when it comes to Shabbos, one has to fast because that's the only day that one is permitted to do so. The Gemara goes on and continues to tell a story about one of the Amoraim who had a dream, and the response that he received was even to fast on Shabbos. So certainly source number 5 with the Mapil, and certainly source number 6, the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Yud Aleph, would seem to indicate that dreams certainly are something very severe, so much so that one is required to fast on Shabbos and on that day. Take a look in sources number 7 and 8 on the next page, in the Gemaras and Brachas and Daf Nun Hayim Beis, two sources that also seem to indicate that dreams are something to reckon with. The Gemara says in the first brackets on Nun Hayim Beis, Amra Funa Bar Ami, Amra Pedas, Amra Biochnan, Haroa Chalom, somebody who sees a dream, a vision. V'nafsho agumalav. That's an important three words to mention, that one's soul is disturbed by it. It's something that bothers him. We're going to have to get back to that. Yelech v'yifteren b'fnei shlosha. He should go and try to figure out a way to be poter the chalom, that it should be divulged, it should be revealed in front of three people. Make sure that this dream is taken care of. Figure out what it means. The Gemara says, yifterenu. Is that what you're supposed to do? V'hamar av chizda chalma d'lo mefasher. A chalom that is unable to be understood, ki igarta d'lo mekarya, is like a letter that is not being read. The same way you can't read a letter, if you did not read a letter, if it's illegible, or if you didn't open it, it's meaningless. So to a chalom, if it was not revealed what the meaning was, so we don't take it seriously. So the Gemara says, you're right. The word that should be written is not yiftirenu, but it's rather yativenu. And yativenu means that you should go do hatavas chalom, which means that you should go in front of three people. And the Gemara says, b'fnei shlosha, leisei tlasa v'lei maluhu, you should go in front of three people, and those three people should say to you, chalma tavachazo. You should say to three people, I have seen a dream, a good dream, v'lei mulei hanach, and those three people should respond, Tavahu v'tave lehave, rachmana l'shave l'tav, sheva zimrin ligzor alach min shemayim. And the Gemara goes on to list an entire series, a dialogue that takes place between the dreamer and the three people who are refuting and who are telling you, don't worry about the dream. And this is what's referred to as hatavas chalom, the annulling of a dream. The way that we do, again, see that dreams are serious is that you have to come the next morning in front of a bezdin of shlosha. You gather three people. You say to the three people, I saw a good dream. They respond to you, you saw a very good dream. Don't worry. And again, there's a whole nusach, there's a whole text that you could find in many of your sidurim that seems to go through the back and forth of a dream. So again, yeah.
Does not patter you from the time?
We're going to get back to that in a moment. Yeah, good question. So here you see the second option in terms of how Chazal approached the reaction to a dream. The first is a fast. The second is hatavas chalom, the annulment of a dream. However, you're going to find out source number 8, a third way that Chazal dealt with dreams. Hai man dechazi chalma, a person who saw a dream. V'lo yodamai chazal, he doesn't know what he saw. Lekum kame kahane beidna de parsi adaihu, should go in front of the kohanim when there is birchas kohanim. V'le mahachi, and should recite the following thing. Ribono shalolam anishalach, because of the limited time-wise, I don't want to go through the entire text, but many of you are familiar in birchas kohanim, you will note that this yihiratzon is found after each of the three times when we recite Amen, and this is the source, and this is another way that Chazal seemed to find an antidote for a dream. Here that's talking about a chalma, the chaza v'lo yadamai, I saw a dream and I don't know what it means. Again, that could be good, that could be bad, that could be a variety of things. So in Chazal, you seem to see that there are actually three different reactions in terms of how we deal with dreams. So if somebody tells you Judaism doesn't take dreams seriously, so it doesn't seem to be that's the case, because Chazal give you three options into how to effectively deal with a dream. How do we deal with this? If you look back to source number 9, that was found 2 pages ago on your source sheet, after the Tashbetz, is a tshuva for the Rashba. Again, it's the same Rashba and the same Chelak Aleph of his published responsa, where he was asked the following question. L'inyan cholim cholom shesha'alta, regarding the dreamer who asked, im yachol liftor atzma behatava im tzarech lehisanos. So the Rashba is aware that there are a variety of different ways you could deal with a dream. You could either fast, you could do hatavas chalom, or you could recite in duchening the yihi ratzon. So this individual wanted to know, what should I do? Should I fast, or should I do hatavas chalom? What's my best option? I would assume he didn't ask about the third option, because when it came to berachas kohanim, he would say it anyway. He didn't have much to lose. And he wasn't living, the Rashba wasn't responding to somebody living in Israel where it took place every day. So he probably told him, it can't hurt, you'll do that anyway. But he wasn't asking specifically about that. What was the Rashba's response? And this is very, very important tshuva, because his response has been quoted amongst many halachic authorities, even contemporarily, and the ramifications of this tshuva are enormous. Says the Rashba, source number 9, Da, shlochivu b'shumokum lehisanos ala chalomos, in no place do you ever see that Chazal, the rabbis, forced or mechayev one to fast. Ella, rather, what did the Gemara say? Let's read the Gemara carefully. It's appropriate. It's a good thing to do. It's nice. They never said chayev adam lesanos. Never said that you have to fast. Afilu b'shabbos. Aval chayev otanis, says the Rashba, lo amru. To deem and to force an individual to fast, that the Gemara never said. It only said it was yafet tainis lechalom. So in the Rishonim, the Rashba's tshuva is quite heavy and important, and certainly the Rashba's indication is that you don't have to fast. Now, what about hatavas chalom? That he doesn't really respond to, and that he doesn't really say whether you should or whether you shouldn't. But the important aspect and what has to be drawn from the Rashba is that the fast day is not a necessity, it's not something that you have to do, but it's yafa. If you want to do it, you can do it. Like to do with you now is to move into halachic codes and to go from the point of the Rishonim to the Shulchan Aruch and to see the Nosei Kelim and how they dealt with this Rashba as well with all the other three Gemaras that we discussed. Did you have a question?
Doesn't the Rashba touch on the
A bit, but he doesn't say should he or should he not. He doesn't give a very outright response to the person. In terms of what we're going to take out of the Rashba is the fact that he says it's not a chiyuv. So if you take a look in source number 10, we've moved now from the Gemara and the Rishonim to the early or middle-aged Achronim and the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch in Simon Reish Chaf. And I point that out specifically, and I'll tell you why in a minute, has a very interesting statement in the Mechaber and Sif Beis in source number 10. Yafet Tanis Levatel Chalom Ra Ke'esh Lina Oris. So the Mechaber quotes the Gemara, but he seems to be quoting it the way the Rashba understood it, that it's yafe, it's the nice thing, and that's exactly the lashon of the Rashba, that's exactly the lashon of the Gemara. The Mechaber never articulates the language of a chiyuv, that you must fast. And that is going to be important as point number one. Point number two that I like to make, if you look on top of the brackets, where is this halacha found? The halacha is found in the halachas of brachos hodah. Brachos hodah are the brachos that we say to thank Hashem for a variety of things. Why didn't the Mechaber put this halach in Hilchos Tainus? I would suggest that the reason is that the Rashba, the Mechaber, did not understand that this was a regular fast. There's no Chiyuv Tainus. Since it's not a regular bona fide Chiyuv fast day, he didn't put it in the section of Hilchos Taneos. Rather, Yafet Tainus Levat El Chomra Keshmeres, it's an appropriate thing to do. More than that, this halacha is piggybacking on Sif Aleph, and Sif Aleph is where the Mechaber quotes the halacha Haroeh Halom, and Sif Aleph, and Nafsho Agumalav, somebody sees a dream and they are disturbed by it. Yativen about Beitlasa Derechimuleh, he should go in front of three people to annul it. Three people, Derechimuleh, Sheohavimoso, the Ramah translates, that love him. The Lamra Ba'apayu, and should go through this text that we mentioned earlier in the Gemara, I saw a good dream, and the people respond back to him, I saw a good dream. So the Gemara does, the Shulchan Aruch rather, does Paskin these two cases. It paskins the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Yud Aleph. It paskins the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Nun Hey that indeed dreams are serious. But at the end of the day, you don't get an indication from the Mechaber in terms of should you fast, should you not fast. It sounds like it's a nice thing to do. You don't have to. And the Mechaber, it sounds like the right thing to do if you had a dream was to indeed go and annul it in front of these three people. We're going to get to that in a second. If you take a look in source number 11, it's in the Mishnah Berurah below. In Os Zion, the Mishnah Berurah, the Sharatzion, points out that this is the position of the Rashba. The Mishnah Berurah rules, a final ruling post the Rashba, mimikol makom ein mechuyev lehasanos ela l'rishos. So you don't have to do fast, it's a rishos, it's not obligatory. If you choose to so do so, one can do so voluntarily if you wish. So that is how we are at this point. Fast day is a rishos, you don't have to, but if you wish, you can so do so. Turn the page to source number 11. 12 rather, and what happens when it comes to Shabbos? The first half of the Gemara we dealt with, that indeed, if one wants to fast, they can, but what about on Shabbos? What's the Psak Halacha when it comes to Shabbos? So in source number 12, in Simon Reish Pei Ches Sif Hei, the Mechaber quotes, it's a Mordechai who writes as follows, Yesh Omrim, She'ein lehisanos tainis chalom b'Shabbos, one should not fast on Shabbos regarding a dream, except if you had a dream three consecutive times about the same thing, then maybe you could fast on Shabbos. The Mechaber now quotes a second opinion. This is the position of the Tur, quoting Gaonim, Rav Amram, Rav Klonim, Moskon. Shabizman hazeh ein lehisanos tanis chalom Shabbos. Today certainly should not fast for a dream on Shabbos. Shein ana bikim bepitron chalomos. We don't know how to resolve, to understand, to decipher dreams. What's good, what's bad? Since we don't have potre chalomos today, so you certainly should not fast on Shabbos. And then the Mechaber finishes, v'ha'olam omrim, the world says, not something that you typically see the Mechaber use that language, but he's quoting his own language in the Beis Yosef. The world says, shenimtza b'svarim kadmonim, it has been found in early books, shalshlosha chalomos misanim b'Shabbos. There are three dreams that you could fast about. What are those three dreams that you could fast about? If you see a Sefer Torah that's burnt, if you see Yom Kippur b'Shas Ne'ilah, that the walls of the house are falling down, or if your teeth are falling out. Those are three types of dreams that you should fast about. Again, we will get back to that, whether or not, how seriously we're going to take those three things, but certainly we see the psak of the Mechaber is that one should not fast on Shabbos. If you take a look at the bottom, in the brackets in the Mishnah Brura, quotes from the Shla, who the Achron bring, Sha'af Be'lua Shlosha, even regarding these three dreams, the Mechaber seems to take seriously, Al Harov Lifsuk Shalol Lisanas B'Shabbos. The Shla generally would tell people not to fast on Shabbos, maybe to fast another 2 days during the week, but certainly not on Shabbos. So again, this Gemara is brought, but again, it's not Paskin lahalacha that one should fast on Shabbos. How about the other Gemara that you referred to a minute ago? And that is when it comes to Birchas Kohanim. So certainly the two Gemaras that we saw, the two suggestions that we suggested till now were brought. Fasting in general, fasting on Shabbos. What about the Hatavas Chalom that we also saw was Paskin and Shulchan Aruch? But how about the Birchas Kohanim? And this is something that comes up regularly for us on the Shalosh Regalim, and in Eretz Yisrael comes up daily. So how do we deal with this dream? Man dechaza chalma, source number 13, kuf lamed orachayim, somebody who sees a chalom, v'lo yoda mai chaza, does not know what he saw, nekum kame kahane, should go in front of the kohanim, b'shash ol muduchan, when they go up and they put themselves on the duchan, v'nei mahachi, and should recite the following thing, ribono shalom, ani shalach, al maisa shalach. And here the Mechaber quotes the Gemara in totality that we referred to earlier, daf brachos, daf nun hei, amud beis. So certainly, this is paskin in Shulchan Aruch, that if one does have a dream, the dreamer should go in front of the Kohanim B'shas Duchening and recite this Yehi Ratzon. There are two points that I would like to make when it comes to Duchening, and I will also get back to it a little bit later as well. The first source is the Mishnah Brura, and the bottom of source number 13, the Gemara says, U'bimedina Seinu, in our lands, referring to the diaspora. Chavitz Chaim was writing this in Raden, in Eastern Europe. Here we are in America, he's also referring to our Medinos, where we do not duchen on a daily basis. This is not something we're accustomed to. Some Sephardim do duchen daily, but in Ashkenazic community, says the Chavetz Chaim, we're not accustomed to duchening on a daily basis. Noagim kol hakahal lemor tefila zu b'shah ducha. Now, what the Gemara said and what the Mechaber passed on is, if you have a dream, you don't know what it is, so you should say this. But when it comes to Birchas Kohanim, on the Shalosh Regalim, maybe I didn't have a dream the night before. Should I say it? Should I not say it? So the Mishnah Berurah says, in our countries, you should say it. Afilo osim shalochamu. Even those who did not have a dream. Why? So the Mishnah Berurah says, the cave of the Enanonosim Kapayim Kim Birgalim, since we only duchen three times a year, or six times a year if it's not Shabbos and it's a Yom Tov Sheni, e'ef shal shalochalim lo pam achas ben regel regel. Certainly you had a dream once, from Pesach to Shavuos, from Shavuos to Sukkot, from Sukkot to Pesach. We're guaranteed that you have a dream. So certainly you should articulate this tefillah in Duchening, in Berachas Kohanim, because I'm certain that you had a dream. The Be'alacha, parenthetically, we're not going to work on this now, deals with, what about a Yom Tov Sheni? If I already had a dream, and I already said this and articulated the tefillah the night before, so Yom Tov Sheni, should I say it, should I not say it? Quotes a Machtzis HaShekel about this, and he says that the Olam is accustomed to saying it anyway in Yom Tov Sheni, even though Mikra didn't, you probably don't have to. And for that reason, I'd like to turn your attention now to the brackets on the next source. This is a very fascinating psak of the Mechaber, and it seems to be a mistake crept into our Sidur. The Mechaber says that you should respond after Rechsham Yishmerecha, after Yishmerecha, Yarsham Panav Elacha Vichunaka, and after Shalom you should say this Yehi Ratzon. That's what you're supposed to say after each of those three things. In our Sidurim, if you open most Sidurim, after Shalom you don't see the Yehi Ratzon that the Gemara writes, but you see something called the Ribono Shel Olam. Where did that Ribono Shel Olam come from? So the Mishnah Berurah is very, very clear. It says, you know something? There's a mistake. Hainu besov kol pasuk shemesayimim heim shalosh pa'amim, says the Mishnah Berurah, three times you should make sure to say the Yehi Ratzon. V'chein kasa b'shem agra, that's also what the Gra said. It's found in a Sefer Ma'aseh Rav. Shayanoig lomer gam besov pasuk shlishi haribono shel olam hanal shehusker b'gemar v'lo ha'yehi ratzon anitvas b'sidurim. The Siddur made a mistake. There's a mistake that crept into the Siddur. There's a lot written about this, how this mistake crept in. There are many mistakes that crept into our Siddurim, but amongst them, this is one, that instead of the Ribono Shel Olam that should be recited, that instead of the Yehi Ratzon that you found in after Shalom, you should really recite the Ribono Shel Olam. Most Achronim, including the Chayadim, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and the Nesivos in his Derech HaChaim, all of them seem to say that this is what should be said. Many of the newer Siddurim corrected it already, and they add in the Ribono Shel Olam and not the Yehi Ratzon. And indeed, that is Thank you. What should be recited? So that is when it comes to the dream regarding the Hatavas Chalom in the Nefilas Apayim. So all three Gemaras that we saw are Paskin Lahala. Nesias Kapayim, thank you. So all three Gemaras that we saw were Paskin Lahalacha. What I'd like to return your attention to is a sharp...
mentioning the Shalosh Regalim, there's also Dochmei Nine in Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
And Yom Kippur.
As far as I know, it's not mentioned Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. As far as I'm aware, I don't believe we say it. Some communities do. You have to look in your machzorim. I don't.
No, even in Eretz Yisrael, there's no time the way they do it on a daily basis. To,
oh, so that's so. When it comes to a daily basis, that's what the Shulchan Aruch said. If you particularly had a bad dream, then you should say it. If one individual had a bad dream and you live in Eretz Yisrael, so you want to say it once a week, twice a week, if you think you had a bad dream, so according to Shulchan Aruch, you could say it. They here in Chutzlarts where there's not a situation where we have it on a daily basis. So the Mishnah Berurah says, and there's the Pasaka of the Mechaber, it seems to be the way the Mishnah Berurah is understanding, they should say it because, you know, you probably did have a bad dream.
I'm just pointing out they don't duchen today in Eretz Yisrael, they did in the Mechaber's time.
Okay.
They rushed through it so fast.
Right.
So it's not really optional by what the
Mishnah
Berurah is saying.
We're going to get to it in a second. We'll see how the later halakhic authorities dealt with it. But at this point in the Mechaber, yeah, he quotes the Gemara verbatim, and it would seem to be that the appropriate thing would be, Man dechazi cham l'yad mechazi, nekem kamikanish. This is what you should do. Let me turn your attention now to a Shaar HaTzion and to a Mishnah Berurah, where now you're going to begin to see how the halakha developed, and certainly in the last 100 years, there's been a dramatic change. The way to understand the Mechaber. Underneath source number 11, and this is the Mechaber in Simon Reish Chuf. So the Shaar HaTzion, those are the footnotes of the Mishnah Berurah. So he quotes a Gemara in Brachos, and this is in Os Aleph. The Shaar HaTzion is found all the way on the bottom of the page of the Mishnah Berurah. It's underneath source number 11. And in Shaar HaTzion Aleph, he quotes a Gemara in Brachos that says, Kol Cholam V'lo Tavas. So what does that mean? Kol chalam v'lo tavas. Machlokas, we showed him how to understand those four words. But the Shaar HaTzion quotes from the Tosfosim, Tosfos Rabbi Yehuda, and the Tosfos Arash that explain that this is what it means. Kol chalam ra, sh'adam roa yesh lidogalav. Any bad dream that somebody has, he should be concerned about it. So much so that one should go through the following motions that we discussed, either fasting, or the Hatavas Chalom, or the Nesias Kapayim. However, there's an exception. What's the exception? Chutz Micholom Ra Shira Acharatainis. If you have a bad dream following a fast day, you shouldn't do a Tainis Chalom, you shouldn't fast, you shouldn't go through any of the motions, says the Shaar HaTzion, quoting the Tosfos, and why not? Lefi Sheyasha B'Tainis V'Nitzar Machmasayino. You were fasting all day, and you suffered. You're certain that you're going to see a chalom ra, and because of what you lack of eating that you did during the day, it's certain either biologically or medically that you're going to come onto a bad dream, and as such you should not go through the fast day. And here the Shaar HaTzion points out a very important psak, and this is the Chafetz Chaim writing, U'mezeh yesh lilmo, from here one sees, l'kol heicha sheyesh adam tzar gadol. Person had a bad day, he had a rough week, he had a bad month. And afterward you see a bad dream, ain't lidogalav, you shouldn't be nervous about it. Because if you, the bad dream is brought upon as a result of something that took place during the day, just like the fact that you fasted, and now you don't have to do it because you fasted and you didn't eat, and as such there's going to be a bad dream. Anything that was, any dream that was brought about by a particular incident that took place during the course of the day, you should not fast. If you turn the page, you'll see that the Mishnah Berurah himself also articulates a very, very similar svara. The Mishnah Berurah can be found on the bottom of source number 12. It's in Os Yud Ches in the Mishnah Berurah on the bottom. And this is one of the three dreams that the Mechaber said you should fast on Shabbos if your teeth fall out. So the Mishnah Berurah here quotes from the Shari Tshuva that if you have Ke'ev Sheinaim, if you have a toothache during the day, so again, you shouldn't be concerned because of the fact that it was brought on by a natural incident during the day.
Go to a dentist.
That's right. Go to a dentist, take care of it. So if that's your scary dream and that's your bad dream, don't worry about it. So we do see from the Mishnah Berurah and the Shaar HaTzion is that any dream that's brought about by something that took place during the day that was bad or evil or uncomplimentary, so you should not be concerned about that dream. Not only is this the approach of the Mishnah Berurah, but if you turn to the last page, you'll see that the Aruch HaShulchan three times, I found, also seems to have a very similar understanding of dreams b'zman hazeh. Aruch HaShulchan, writing in the early part of the 20th century, writes the same understanding of dreams. If you take a look in source number 14, on the first column toward the bottom, he writes as follows. The Kol Shekein, it's about 8, 9, 10 lines up from the bottom on the first column in source number 14. The abbreviations Chaf Shen, Kol Shekein, certainly Osam HaOchlim Harbe Kodem Shena. Somebody goes to the fridge before he goes to sleep, and he begins to snack on a bunch of different things. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, Sheha'edim ha'olim bekirbo, the steam or the vapors that are going to develop in your body, yivalbalu ha'koach ha'medame, they are going to confuse you. Ve'ein ben amitius klal, there is no truth to any of the dreams that you see whatsoever, because what you eat affects you, and as such, says the Aruch HaShulchan, mecheinim chomo ra'ayanos cheshechash v'ayom, if you dream about something that you were dealing with during the day, something that was difficult that was taking place, pshita, certainly shakoach hamedame mar lo mein machshavosav, the dream is coming as a result of what took place during the day. V'chol ki hai e mamish bechalomos, we don't take dreams, at least these dreams, seriously, ke'elu. And you'll take a look on the top of the next source, that's also the Aruch HaShulchan and Oz Dalet, he also says pretty much the same thing, and here he says it a little bit stronger. Three lines from the top in Os Dalet and Sif Katan Dal in the Aruch HaShulchan. The Yoser Tov, you know what the best thing is? Not a fast, not to be Meitiv the Chalom in front of three, and not to do it B'Shas Mesias Kapayim, which we'll get back to in a moment. Shiyargil Ha'odam Es Atzma Lebli Lehabit Al-Chamamos. A person should accustom himself not to take dreams seriously. Don't worry about them. Why? Ki Rubam Ein Behem Mamish. Most of them have no sincere element to them whatsoever. Don't take them seriously. He quotes the pasuk in Koheles, Kibaha Chalom Barovinyon, and Rashi understands that Chalomos come from Hirhurim, Shema'ayin, Maharhar Bayom, comes as a result of a variety of thoughts during the day. Don't take it seriously.
I just had a thought. Is it possible that because, I don't know if this was kind of Freud, that he made the big thing about dreams, that this is like a little bit of a, stay away from it?
I can't say. Yeah, again, he's much later, but I don't know. Was it 19 early night yeah, early well, late yeah Freud okay right. It could be, yeah. I don't know if he in the Vardic if he heard of Freud. I don't know. Could be. Nonetheless, not only in two places did Aruch HaShulchan stresses, but Meshulash in Sif Yud Aleph, on the bottom of Os Yud Aleph, he again repeats this theme, and this is in Simin Reish Peches. That was in the Halachas of Hilchos Shabbos regarding fasting on Shabbos. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, V'yoser tov shelo l'ashkiach b'chalomos, don't be concerned about dreams whatsoever. U'befrat, specifically, cholam shehiru bo b'inyan hazeh b'yom, something that happened during the day. Pshit of that, for sure, the last pay mamish. V'chein emile kreisa b'achil v'shiyah, if you ate heavily during the day, and certainly before you go to sleep, v'oz ha'edim ha'olim al arosh marm lo chizyonos v'dimyonos leis v'mamasha. So three times Aruch HaShulchan says, do not take it seriously. Like the Rashba, like the Mechaber, if you want to fast, you can fast. You certainly don't have to fast. When it comes to the Hatava, so again, Aruch HaShulchan is writing in Siman Reish Chaf, also doesn't think that the Hatava is something that one should do as well. The only thing that neither of the sources pointed out, not the Mishnah Berurah, not the Aruch HaShulchan, is regarding the Nesias Kapayim, whether we should take that seriously or not. We're going to see in a moment about that. And these are the last two sources for the morning. This is source number 16. The Chazon Ish has three volumes of letters that were published. And the letters that the Chazon Ish wrote are very, very important, both for halachic and hashkafic purposes. And he writes his letters very carefully, and you have to read his letters carefully. And in a very short statement to an individual who asked whether or not he should fast, or whether or not he should annul the dream in front of three. And you'll see the footnote at the top under source number 16 is referring to the type of dream that the Chazon Ish is responding to is the one that in the Siddur Hagon Rav Yaakov Ben Tzvi, that is Rav Yaakov Emden, the son of the Chacham Tzvi, Rav Tzvi Ashkenazi, he has a certain list of fasts that one should certainly make sure to fast as a result of a bad dream. And regarding those fast days, that's what the Chaznish was being asked about. Shenogu l'sano salava fil b'shabbos. When it comes to the fasts regarding dreams that Rabbi Yaakov of Emden said he should fast about, this individual asked the Chaznish in the mid-1900s whether or not you should fast. And this is the very short statement that the Chaznish writes. Harbe pe'omim chalamti kmo ela. Chaznish reveals that many times he also had very similar dreams to those that are mentioned in the Siddur of Rabbi Yaakov Emden. V'lo samti lev lezeh. I paid no attention to them. Like the Aruch HaShulchan, he didn't take them seriously. And those are heavy dreams. If you look in the Siddur of Rabbi Yaakov Emden, those are serious dreams that he's referring to. And he said that I never took them seriously. But the Chazanish adds, "Nachon shete'om haribon shalom b'shas nesias kapayim." It is appropriate to say the ribon shalom in nesias kapayim. Again, you say the ribon shalom three times, not the hiratzon and after shalom. But again, that is what the Chazanish says. He seems to have taken the dream seriously vis-a-vis when it comes to nesias kapayim, not when it came to hatavas shalom, and not when it comes to the fast. The last source for the morning is Orchas Rabbeinu. Orchas Rabbeinu was a student of the Stipler. The Stipler was a brother-in-law of the Chazon Ish. And here is a report of how his brother-in-law, the Chazon Ish, understood dreams. So he writes, this is Rabbi Horowitz quoting the Stipler, quoting the Chazon Ish. He heard Sipeli HaRevsh Peshin, it's a certain Rav, Talmidu HaNeman Shalmar HaChazon Ish, a close confidant, a close student of the Chazanish, Shemar lo sam lev l'chalomos raim. He never paid any attention to bad dreams at all. Va'af lo amar sa ribono shalom b'berachas kohanim. Not only that, the Chazanish wouldn't even recite the ribono shalom in dochening. How does that stem with what he said in source number 16 that he said you should? It seemed to be that the Chaznish told others that they should say the Ribono Shalom. That would be the appropriate thing. Somebody was asking, what should I do about a dream? Go say the Ribono Shalom. Don't worry about the Hatava. Don't worry about fasting. But if you want, go say the Tefillah that's found in the Nesias Kapayim. But it sounds like the Chaznish himself did not even say that. The Kol Shekein certainly says the Stipler Shlo Heiti V'Sachalom V'Lotzam. So Chaznish did not follow any of the three suggestions that the Gemara says. He didn't fast, he didn't do hatavas chalom, and he didn't say b'shas nesias kapayim, and he responded in the last line in that paragraph, maran savar shachalomos bizmanenu lomarim shum davar. Dreams today, contemporarily, don't show anything, they don't portend the thing, ragboy mehuhurei alev, but they come from thoughts in the heart. So to summarize, what we did see is a variety of sources in the Gemara, Shas, Rishonim, and Chazal, that seem to differentiate between different types of dreams that individuals have. When it comes to halachic dreams, so one can decide what type of dream it is, and as such, based upon that tashbetz, if it's a monetary dream, or if it's a dream that's related to Isser, how seriously we take it. That's when it comes to dream and halacha, where there are halachic ramifications. However, when it comes to general dreams, positive or negative, so we found that the Gemara seems to indicate that there are three ways to deal with dreams, either through the tzom, either through the hatava, or through the nesias kapayim. The Rashba, we said, only saw it as a reshus, not as a chov, and that's in the Chaber Paskin, as well as in the Mishnah Berurah. When it came to the hatava, the Mechaber did paskin it. We did see that the Chazon Ish himself, the Aruch HaShulchan, the Mishnah Berurah, and the Shaar HaTzion said, if it's coming from a variety of other sources, you don't necessarily have to contend with them. But certainly throughout, for us in here living in the diaspora, when you only do it three times a year, Shalosh Regalim, that we duchen, it would be appropriate, most probably, as it seems to say, the only one that we know didn't say it, articulated it, didn't say it, was the Chazon Ish. But the most of the Machzorim, the Siddurim, has the Chal Matavach, has the Ribono Shlom, and that seems to be the way to do it. Now again, if one wants to fast, if one wants to do Hatava, you didn't do anything wrong. But one has to understand how Chazal understood dreams throughout the centuries. Certainly is a very clear indication that dreams are serious. We do take them seriously. But today, as the Chaznish and the Aruch HaShulchan and the Mishnah Berurah wrote, it seems to be that dreams are not something that we should be terribly concerned about. Like the Aruch HaShulchan says, don't lose sleep over them. Okay. Thank you very much.
The earliest sources on the Nesias Kapayim suggest something actually physically come before the Kohanim.
Meaning, what the Gemara means is that when you're standing in front of the Kohen, you're